encryption. This is a very little technical glitch. I'm just restarting it. Thank you, ma'am, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you for joining us for a discussion on our bank's financial results for the quarter ended Q1 of 2025. We have uploaded the results along with the presentation on our website, and I hope you have had a chance to go through it in detail ahead of this call. I am, as always, joined on this call by Mr. Rajiv Ahuja and other members of our management team to address any questions that you have. Before we get into the results for the quarter, I would like to briefly touch upon the business trends of the quarter. Happy to state that the bank is on track with the stated objective and on course to achieve Vision 2026. The advances growth was 19% YOY and 3% sequential in this quarter. The retail advances grew at 31% YOY and 9% sequentially. Our newer secured businesses continued to grow at a healthy rate, with the business loans and the housing cumulatively growing at 19% YOY and housing specifically growing at 52% YOY and the rural vehicles growing at 74% YOY on a low base. Housing and business loan yield continued to improve as we focus on profitable sourcing, with yields improving 50 bps in the quarter on new sourcing. The commercial banking within the wholesale saw 25% YOY growth. As you can see, our focus areas are demonstrating healthy growth. On deposits, we are focusing on granular deposit growth, and our share of granular deposits continues to improve. Deposits less than 3 crore was 49.3% for the quarter, up from 46.8% a year ago. The next step would be to increase this share to 50% plus in the coming quarters. The granular deposits grew 25% YOY and 5% sequentially, and we expect this momentum to continue. CASA deposits grew 3% YOY but degrew sequentially. The March was higher because of the seasonal flows towards the year end, mainly in current account. There is a competition for deposit, but we have seen and believe we will continue to see the decent traction in the retail deposit growth. Our focus remains to grow granular deposits as an increasing proposition of the incremental deposits to fund incremental advances growth. The branch banking-led deposits grew 23% YOY and 7% sequentially and account for 61% of the total deposits of the bank. The LCR was also very healthy at 137% for the quarter. In terms of disbursement, we are seeing decent traction in the newer segments with HL and LP, LAP, quarterly disbursal run rate of 1,200 crore plus, and now it accounts for approximately 30% of the total quarterly disbursal. The market share of rural vehicle financing is around 4.3% at the states where we operate. We have seen lower disbursements in microfinance in this quarter, particularly because of caution due to elections and general Q1 weakness. In credit cards, we have now increased the share of non-BFL co-brand cards to 52%, and this will continue to increase as our direct sales and branches get more traction. Along with the pickup in the volume with our newer and the proposed co-brand partnership, we have also signed up 5 new partnerships this quarter. Our endeavor would be to scale these partnerships over time to diversify our sourcing base. On asset quality and the collection traction of BFL co-branded cards, on the transition of collections in credit cards, I am happy to report that it has been completed as we speak in July. There were some costs and slippages increased due to transition, which we had in Q1 on account of this. We saw 60 crore increase in slippages as compared to Q4, partly impacted by the transition. We expect some spillover of the transition impact in Q2 as well, but expect it to stabilize and improve Q3 onwards. The slippages in microfinance were lower versus Q4 of FY24, but we are still not close to where we were in the early parts of last year. We continue to focus on collections, especially in the early buckets, and that is the primary focus. Collection efficiencies did see a dip in April and May due to election disruption, but it has been improving since. Net slippages in the rest of the businesses have been negligible. The focus in these businesses is to improve the recovery on the existing NPA and return of pools. On an overall basis, our PCR and NPA levels have been steady. We continue to hold contingent provisions on credit cards and microfinance at 1% of the book, amounting to 283 crores, which will provide some cushion against downturns. Now on to other aspects of our operating performance. Our NII was up 20% YOY and 6% sequentially at 1,700 crores. The cost of funds and cost of deposit increased by 12 and 14 bps this quarter. We received interest from tax authorities on the refund that we had got last year, which is partly reflected in NII. Our total other income was 805 crores this quarter, 18% higher YOY, and accounts for 32% of the net total income. Of this, core fee income grew 20% YOY to 769 crores. Our total income was up 19% YOY at 2,505 crores. Our OPEX grew 13% YOY and 4% sequentially at 1,646 crores. Our cost-to-income ratio was 65.7% this quarter, as against 69.3% in Q1 last year and 64.2% last quarter. As I said earlier, there were certain costs related to the collection migration in the cards business in this quarter. We expect cost growth to typically be lower than advances and balance sheet growth this year. Our PPOP this quarter was 859 crore, up by 33% YOY on provisions. We took a total provision on advances of 521 crore in this quarter. We had recoveries from return of accounts of totaling 60 crores. The net provisions on advances, therefore, was at 461 crore. The credit cost for the quarter was 59 bps as compared to 53 bps last quarter. We also reversed the 90 crore on the provisions we had taken in AIFs in Q3 FY24 basis clarifications on the same. And therefore, the negative impact of Q3 FY24 is neutralized now. Our net profit for the quarter was 372 crores, up 29% YOY and 5% sequentially. Similarly, ROAs were 1.14% and ROEs were 9.88%. On asset quality. On asset quality, in terms of NPA ratios, GNPA was at 2.69%, improving from 3.22% the same time last year. And NNPA was at 0.74%, again same as the last quarter. The PCR now stands at 73.1%. Our net slippages in the wholesale was negative, of rupees 29 crore, aided by recoveries. The credit card was 400 crores, microfinance was 136 crores, and the rest of the retail was 20 crores. Our net restructured advances stood at 0.44%, against 0.51% in Q4 FY24. On capacity building, our total employees as of the June 2024 was 13,353, which increased by 16% YOY. During last 2 to 3 quarters, we have insourced some of the core technology management activity and improved the bank's ability to enhance customer service. Lastly, on capital. Our total capital, including profit, was 15.56%, and our CET1 ratio was 13.85%, as against 16.18 and 14.38 as at March end. This is largely on account of the one-time impact due to increase in operational risk RWA. We will drive some efficiencies in the coming quarters. In summary, we continue to see steady growth in the focus areas of our business. We do, however, see some pressure on slippages and cards, partly contributed by collection migration and to some extent in microfinance in the near term. We expect pullback on this by second half of this year. We are focused on growing secured retail as well as the commercial banking and growing incremental deposits in the form of granular deposits. We have completed the migration of collection in our cards business, and while that saw some increase in cost and slippages, we expect this to stabilize by next quarter. In microfinance, we are focused on improving the efficiencies in the early buckets, and we want to see it to get to the levels closer to the last year. At the same time, we are working to improve our overall efficiency and profitability ratios. Our newer retail businesses are beginning to scale up, and we should see results by the time we exit this financial year. On capital, our ratios continue to be healthy. And while we are approaching our shareholders for an enabling resolution, we remain well capitalized for growth in the short and the medium term, and there are no immediate plans for raising equity capital. On deposit mobilization, we are confident of continuing our growth in granular deposit due to our differentiated services. With this, we will open the session for question and answer.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Jai Mundra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir, and congratulations on good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, last time, I mean, at the time when we had unveiled our, you know, 3 years plan, things especially on deposit funds have changed or has become tightened. We have also seen that, you know, in this quarter, our deposit growth, part of that is due to current account decline. But still, CDR now to 85%. Considering what has happened in the last few quarters, and you know, would you still be confident in the 20% loan as well as deposit growth over the next few in the investors period? That is the question number one, sir.
Okay. Yeah, Subhundra, we gave our guidance that the overall total deposit will grow by 18% range, 18 to 20% range. And within that, we are focusing on a granular deposit, which for the last 3 or 4 quarters, it is just holding around 25 to average of 25%. In our estimate, we may not go down below that granular deposit growth below 25%. We will be in the range of 23 to 25% of the granular deposit growth. Our assessment is that the granular deposit growth will be able to aid and help us to grow incremental advance growth. Since our entire market share is hardly 0.4 to 0.5%, there may not be much of a difficulty in achieving our growth estimate, even under the current circumstances. That is our assessment. Anything else?
Yeah. Any view on LDR, sir? This 85.5%, if you were to calculate on net advances basis, how, I mean, what could be the outer limit of this LDR as we go along?
LDR will be in the range of 83 to 85 is our estimate, and we will continue to maintain it within the range of 83 to 85. All our calculation of deposit mobilization is with this 83 to 85 range of LDR.
Sure, sir. And if you can give the slippages breakup for this quarter, sir, MFI, credit card, and corporate and others.
Yeah.
So cards slippages is around 400 crores. MFI is about 135 crores, and the rest put together should be negligible. There are some pluses and minuses across other segments.
And sir, if you have called out the SMA number for microfinance, because the situation is still, you know, a bit volatile, and you said that you will be focusing on the early delinquency, if you can give maybe, you know, SMA 1 or SMA 2 or PAR 30, PAR 60 in MFI book. Thank you.
See, the SMA, if you look at it, it is a range of 60 to 65 crores, SMA 2. And SMA 1 is also in a similar range as far as the microfinance is concerned. And this is the yearly numbers. And as I said, that we are focusing on yearly bucket and the flow is what we are controlling it. What we understand from the field report in the last 10-15 days is that we are able to pull back and our efficiency in respect of zero bucket is just becoming better than the period of April and May. We are able to see around maybe around 10-15 bips better than what we have been seeing it earlier. And with that, we feel that this number can also come down. We will be able to do a fair amount of recovery in the current SMA 1 and SMA 2.
Sure. Thank you, sir. I will come back in.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Kunal Shah from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. So, firstly, maybe in terms of the MFI, when we look at the overall increase which has been there in the GNPA, so on the net side, it doesn't seem to be much of the recovery. It's like almost like 90-95 odd crores is the increase which has been there in the GNPA, and you have mentioned like 135 odd crores as the slippage number. So that's right, 135 odd crores. Which is, again, I would say closer to like 7-8% kind of a run rate continuing in the MFI portfolio.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And last time, maybe, sorry, to the earlier question, last time you indicated 30 plus at 2.83 and 60 plus at 1.89. So how would that number be now?
This is for microfinance?
Yeah, for MFI.
It's similar to slightly less, Kunal. There is, our expectations are that we have indicated earlier also that we saw slippages trending a little bit up. We are now, we of course pulled back Q1 slightly below Q4 and we expect something similar to happen in Q2, and if all goes well, then H2 should start looking much better. But we expect Q2 to be flattish over Q1. In terms of
Okay. And maybe in terms of the growth overall, so credit card, I think you indicated that given the transitioning which is there, that portfolio might grow slightly slower. But I think MFI, given that stress is also continuing at 7-8% odd, should we see maybe the even MFI, maybe the book growing slow getting into entire FY25? Given the situation?
See, as far as MFI growth is concerned, we will be able to pull back. The Q1 is one area where we consciously reduced our expansion. And if not to the peak disbursement of the last year, it will be in a position to go back to the average growth what we saw in the last year. Will be back again in Q2 onwards. In Q1, it is a conscious decision of pull back because of various April, May elections and the heat wave and general Q1 weaknesses. So these factors were kept in mind. And now we'll average growth what we saw last year will come back again from Q2 in MFI.
Okay. And lastly, in terms of the impact of interest on IT refund on NII, so it's there in the other income, but if you can just quantify to how much was.
Yeah, that is in the NII line, not in other income line. So that is approximately 25 basis points impact on margin. So margins would have been flattish without that.
Okay, it would have been.
It's about 68 to 70 crores, that range.
60, okay, got it. Perfect, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, this is with respect to slide number 17, where we are giving the split of costs against various segments. Now, if you look at the business acquisition and collection costs, it is still growing at around 23% year-on-year. So, just want to understand, with the branch-led acquisition model, this is still running at a higher than business growth of 18%. So would this run rate continue, or do we expect some moderation of this going ahead? That's one. And second, on the new customer addition run rate, for the past few quarters, it was at around 0.6 million, whereas for this quarter, it has come down to 0.3 million. So is there an impact of MFI customers here, or how should we look at the new customer addition on that?
So on the second part, it's a combination of card and MFI. The liability extraction continues to be what it was. Both cards and MFIs, as Kumar sir mentioned, Q1 on MFI, of course, it's a little less. And credit cards also, our gross and net acquisition is slightly less, partly because we are also diversifying our sources of origination consciously. On the first one, again, that is dominated by cards collections, and in fact the transition impact, while it had some impact on slippages, it also had somewhat of an impact on the cost when the transition happened, because there was some double amount during transition that happened. So that itself was around in the range of 40-50 crores, which we expect should start moderating from second half of Q2 and then definitely Q3 onwards. So this business acquisition and collections cost, it's got many factors. Honestly, higher slippages also means that there will be more thrust on collections across portfolios. But in general, we should start seeing that trend downward from Q3 onwards. Yeah, it should come more in line with advances growth.
Sure, sir. And so just on this change in the collection infrastructure which has happened on cards, when we are saying that there's an increase in slippages this quarter and next quarter also we expect it to be higher, but moderate after that. So, like, what is it that is happening which is leading to this increase, and why are we confident that from 3Q onwards the slippages would decline? Because, see, this would, the collection infrastructure would come into picture only when 1 plus DPD is happening.
Right.
So that slippages would anyways be there. So just because of the change, why is this getting impacted? Is that early bucket recoveries which is within the quarter? How will we be able to control better from CQ onwards?
The transition collection, just to clarify, this was for the co-branded portfolio that we have with Bajaj Finance, was being managed by a group entity of Bajaj Finance, as we had said in the past. And that is now being coming into the bank managed, directly managed through the way we manage other parts of our business, our own card business. When this transition happened, we've obviously put infrastructure in place in terms of people, in terms of agencies, empanelment, and so on and so forth, as we absorb that large portfolio directly. There was also a tech expansion that we had to do to manage this portfolio. And when transition happens, because of the handover to be smooth, there will be some level of overlap that we had to consciously maintain. So that's the reason for the cost being temporarily a little higher, which will start coming off as things settle down within our scheme of things. Now, when such a transition happens, naturally there are new employees who have come into our fold who are doing this. There are new telecom agencies that are involved in collection. So naturally, that transition also means that there will be some level of slippage impact that we've seen, which again is something once things settle down for a couple of months, we should start seeing that behave more in line with what was there before the transition.
Sure. And so lastly, on the rural vehicle finance, we have seen a degrowth Q-on-Q on the mix. So how should we
look
into that? Rural vehicle finance. Q-on-Q, the loan mix has come down.
We have done some IVPC sellout on that portfolio, small amount, so that's the reason. Underlying portfolio has grown quite well.
Sure, thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mona Khetan from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening, and for taking my question. So just one clarification, when I look at retail other segments, it's grown by almost,
your voice is breaking. Can you use your handset, please?
Already using my handset.
Ma'am, there is a network issue at your end, I believe.
Okay, I'll check it with you. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, it's a little bit low. Can you increase your volume, please?
Just a moment. Is this better?
Yes, sir, please. Please proceed.
Yes, yes. Hi. So just two things. First question, I would like to know your outlook or rather guidance for FY25 on AUM, credit cost, ROA and cost to income front. Hello.
Yeah, I think you can just get back to the Vision 2026 where we just articulated. We still hold the same view. We will be having a credit cost in the range of 2.1 to 2.2 is what we have said about it, and we will be in that range only. With all our efforts which has been put now, we are confident that we will be in a position to maintain that particular position. And as for the ROA is concerned, we said that there will be a growth of around 20% over that of the last year. We are making all-out efforts, and we are confident that we will try to reach it around 15 to 20% growth there.
Which was the last one for? 15-20%?
ROA.
ROA.
Yeah, ROA. Exit ROA, okay. We will want to look at 15-20% growth on the exit ROA that we had in Q4 last 20. Year. So 1% going to somewhere in the 1.15 range.
But this is for FY25 or FY26?
No, this is exit quarter FY25.
Fourth quarter.
Okay. Cost to income, I don't believe you.
No, we haven't guided any specific number, but typically okay. We will expect income to grow faster than cost, and therefore, growth in PPOP to be higher than advances, and therefore cost to income to fall. Broad range, don't hold me every quarter on this, but broad range should be 2 to 3% or 3% or so per annum reduction.
2-3% per annum reduction. Okay. And overall, you said your FY26 aspiration, which you had shared earlier, is on track.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Thanks. I'll get back in. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I have two questions. One is on the margin. Like margins have been pretty strong again this quarter. We have reported a good improvement. Now with the ongoing moderation in the card business and MFI, how do you really see this? Can one say that the margins have peaked out, or how do you really read into it?
So Nitin, I just mentioned some time back that the margin has some impact of the tax interest refund that we got. If I exclude that, we should be flattish margins sequentially Q1 over Q4. And we expect margins to be flattish in Q2. And then we, after that, actually expect it to slightly improve. And the improvement is largely coming through doing a better risk-adjusted return business across all our portfolios. In each of the portfolio, for example, in retail assets, we are focused more on the smaller segments. We have put in lower thresholds below which we are not doing business. Similarly, in wholesale, we are putting thresholds below which we are not doing business because we are not really chasing growth beyond 18-19% on loans. So, this is the mix improvement, and with certain assumptions that cost of funds are kind of peaking, we should be able to improve margins in the second half. But next quarter should be flattish.
Having said that, your first part of it, that we never said that we'll be shrinking our microfinance. We said that the growth will be average of the last year. That means Q1 we had cautiously brought it down, and Q2 onwards it will not be shrinking. The growth will be average of the last year. You will not see the peak of Q4 again, but it is at the average of last year.
Okay. And the other question on the credit costs, other key guidance that we have. Now, over there, this quarter, of course, like we have reported a 59 basis point credit cost. So you think we are in range to adhere to our 2-2.1 credit cost, or you see upside risk to it? Because Q2 also you are indicating for a like a similar performance on asset quality. So where, how do you see that trending out?
Yeah, so I think the first half it will be similar to what we are reporting in Q1. And then I think second half we should try and pull it down. So we will probably, in fact, my range was 1.75 to 2.25. We will end up in the higher end of the range for the year.
Right. And the other one clarification on the investment like regulations, what impact did it have on the CET1? There is some fall in Tier 1. So what was the impact, if you can quantify, from the revised investment regulations this quarter?
So So we had a net worth impact of or reserve impact of about 75 crores. So that is about 7-8 basis points on capital.
Okay. Because I just asked because the actual like decline in Tier 1 looks to be a little higher, even looking at the like.
Yeah. So the reason for that is also because every beginning of the year you transition to a new operating cost calculation, which is on the previous 3 years average, and we also did a accounting change which resulted in a grossing up of BC costs in microfinance. And the operating cost, operating capital requirement on operating risk is basis the total revenue, and therefore there was an impact. So that was almost a 45 basis points impact. Excluding that, we should be broadly coming with accretion of profits. We should be burning about 20 basis points of total capital, give or take.
Okay, sure. Thanks, Jadeep, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rati J. Pandit from Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My first question is with respect to the sourcing strategy for the newer businesses which we have entered into. I mean, do we plan to reduce our reliance on DSAs over there? What is our sourcing mix now and what do we target in future? This is my first question. And second question is on a bookkeeping one, on the provision breakup, which you have been giving, but this time I believe it's missing.
Provision breakup, yeah?
Yeah, I'll give the point. What was the first question, ma'am?
First question, basically on the sourcing strategy for the newer businesses, which we have entered into in the past 2 to 3 years. And how, whether we plan to reduce reliance on DSAs over here.
See, we said in year before, and we intend to move with the DSA base to non-DSA to 50% is what you are aiming at. Right now, today, most of the businesses, the non-DSA based sourcing has already reached around 30-32%. And going forward, we'll be able to achieve that non-DSA by around 50%. And another very important the strategy with regard to the sourcing is through our RFL 100% subsidiary, where already the pilot branch with 75 branches start operating, and we are intent to take it around 200 branches, and we will be sourcing all our retail products what we have rolled out. Except in prime housing loan, they will be in a position to get us all of the loans. Provision.
Sorry, I'll come back to that in a minute. So our total provision was 460 crores. The NPA related provisioning was around 513 crores. And we had a recovery of approximately 70 crores on return of accounts. And standard asset provisioning was about 18 crores, which includes the continued provisioning that we do on contingent provisioning on cards and microfinance.
1%.
So as a result of which, total provision was 461 crores and then we had a 90 crore write back on AIF.
So how much more AIF provisions are, we have finished the write off over there or some provisions we still retain on the AIF?
No, so we will have about 20 crores of provisioning on AIF because there will be, even if we have invested in an equity fund, if the equity fund has invested in a common borrower in an instrument which is like a convertible preference share or something like that, conservatively we have continued to maintain that provision. So that's about 20 crores. That will come back over a period of time as and when the fund returns its money.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prabhul from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
No, thank you. So my first question was, since you mentioned that you want to maintain credit to deposit ratio in a narrow range, are you looking to raise interest rate on savings or term deposits so that you can deliver on 20% loan growth guidance?
See, whatever the plan we have drawn, it is based on the current state of affairs and with the current environment is what we have planned out. If the environment changes adversely, ALCO will take a decision with regard to what should be the rate of interest to be paid.
Just to add on that, if you look at the peak
term deposit rates that we are giving for retail, which is at about 8% today. And if you look at larger state-owned banks or larger private sector banks, they should be in the range of 720-725. This gap has been narrowed substantially from a couple of years back, where the gap was as high as 1.5% or so.
So suppose, say, you have to choose between, say, pulling back growth or paying higher rate of interest. Would you prefer pulling back growth, or are you okay, say, diluting ROEs? How do you look at it?
No. In order to maintain the CD ratio between 83 to 85, and we have already said that we will be growing the deposit in the range of 18 to 20, at least minimum 18%. That is what the plan of action is. We have no other plan as we speak today.
Okay. And the ROE is 10% currently, and our guidance is of 15% by FY26. What will be the levers to improve this by 500 basis points?
15%. No. So we have given a ROA guidance. I think the ROE will be a function of where we are on the capital cycle. It is very unlikely that we will get to a 15% ROE before we end up diluting capital. So that is going to be, you know, the function of as and when we raise capital, which will take 12-18 months, and then subsequently we will have to lever up again to get to that level of ROE. So what we have guided is mostly on the ROA side.
Okay, and in any plans, I remember that you mentioned in your opening remarks that you don't plan to raise equity capital. But last time when bank had raised equity capital, their tier 1 was around 15%. Currently, it's 14%, and since your growth is higher than your ROE, you're consuming capital as you move. So any levels that you are looking when you will start exploring equity raise?
So two things here. One is that the last time we raised capital was under circumstances which was immediately after COVID, and we had also gone through a wholesale cycle. We are not seeing any asset quality unusual situation right now. Second, we also have built up a 1% contingent provisioning on our cards and microfinance business. So there is some level of cushion in case there is any down cycle. Third, we do have plans to raise Tier 2 capital during this year, which will shore up our total capital. And as Mr. Kumar said in his opening remarks, the QIP shareholder resolution that we will take in the AGM in August will be relevant for 1 year from then. So if you ask whether we will raise capital before August of next year, answer will be probably yes. Are we raising capital in the near medium term? No.
All right. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yash from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So just one clarification on the risk-weighted assets. So the increase is sharp from 71% to 77% of total assets. So just wanted to check if it's similar what you explained earlier on the, you know, leading from the operational changes.
Yeah, it is largely to do with the ops risk.
Right, and so this will be the more or less the range going forward as well.
No, so now, so this one step up increase will not happen for the rest of the year.
Right, but the percentage of total assets would be in the similar range.
Yeah, it'll come down when the
composition
balance sheet again increases with the normalized rate. So the impact of ops risk comes down during the course of the year, which is why I said that we will burn around 20 basis points to 25 basis points per annum going forward again.
Got it.
Net of profits, of course.
Right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Shail Mundra from Viba Financials LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good evening. Yeah. Please go ahead.
So, first of all, I want to congratulate the entire team for an excellent performance over the last few quarters, which continues in this quarter. And I have recently purchased stock after seeing your performance. So, I'm curious to know, I'm liking what you have been doing, and that's why I bought the shares. So one thing which I would like to know more about is what are you doing for brand building and image building for your bank?
And do you have a dedicated team focused on that activity?
See, we analyzed all the options. We have 550 plus branches. First thing, what we thought is we have to create our brand in and around the places where we'll be able to do business on the granular. Because our strategy is to grow granular deposit and granular advances in a big way. So we did a micro marketing. And if you ask me, last year, all the 500 branches, each of the branches have done more than 10 or 15 such activities, which created a good brand recall value. And there is one, how far it's... There is a brand, top 100 brands of the country used to be published through some branding companies, in which our bank entered in 2023 at the pace of 94, and now this year it just moved up to 83. So which we feel that, yes, we are doing a fair job of managing the cost as well as building the brand, and we'll continue to do that, and we'll come with some other alternative. We have some strategy. The board is discussing certain other alternatives for this year, which we will implement it during the course of the year.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions. So we are not able to hear you.
Hello.
There is no, yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. Sir, thanks for the follow-up. So just had a question on the credit card spend. If you look at the past three quarters, it has been hovering around 21 to 22,000 crores. So just wanted to check, is there any particular reason for low growth in spends, or is it just a seasonal phenomenon we should see a pickup happening here soon?
I'll ask Vikram to answer that. Yeah.
Usually, if you were to see historically, Q4 and Q3 have always been posting higher spends than their previous quarters. So this is just a cyclic effect. In absolute sense, if you were to look at the industry is also going through, between Q1 and Q3, there is a difference. That is the difference. There is no other attributable reason.
And any view on the revolve rates? How do we see an uptick happening there sometime in the near future?
As we have informed last time, because of the change in ecosystem, revolve income is reducing, but a large portion of our customer base will take EMI finance. So if you were to see about 70% of our advance is interest bearing, either in form of revolve or in form of EMI loans.
Sure, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take that as the last question for today. We now conclude the Q&A session. If you have any further questions, please contact RBL Bank Limited via email at ir@rblbank.com. I repeat, ir@rblbank.com. On behalf of RBL Bank Limited, we thank you.